Hello, welcome to Science TLDR.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into some really fascinating research, I think quite possibly practice-changing research.
Absolutely. We're looking at a paper just published in Nature. It's titled, SARS-CoV-2 mRNA Vaccines Sensitize Tumors to Immune Checkpoint Blockade.
And for those of you following along, the identifier is S415860250965Y.
So what's the big story here? What's the kind of mission for our discussion today?
Well, the central finding is pretty remarkable. It turns out that those standard mRNA vaccines, you know, the ones developed for SARS-CoV-2.
The Pfizer and Moderna shots everyone got.
Exactly. They seem to act as these powerful, nonspecific immune modulators. They're not just stopping viruses. They appear to significantly boost how well immune checkpoint inhibitors, ICIs, work against certain cancers.
And that really hits on a major clinical problem, doesn't it? ICIs have been revolutionary, truly. Things like PD-1 blockers.
Game changers for some patients.
But the hard truth is, most patients don't benefit, especially those whose tumors are considered immunologically cold.
Right, the tumors that just don't have that baseline level of immune activity, not enough T cells ready to go.
So the immune system can't really get a foothold, even with the ICI trying to release the brakes.
Precisely. And we've poured enormous resources into finding ways to heat up those cold tumors, you know, things like personalized cancer vaccines.
Which are complex, expensive, take time.
Exactly. And this paper comes along and suggests, well, maybe a readily available vaccine, something already in clinics worldwide, could actually help do that job. It's unexpected, to say the least.
Okay, so let's start where they started. This wasn't initially a mechanism hunt, right? It began with looking back at patient data.
That's right. Large retrospective cohorts, people already getting ICIs for advanced cancers.
Then they noticed something specific about patients who also happened to get a COVID mRNA vaccine.
Yeah, specifically if they got the vaccine close to when they started their ICI therapy. They focused quite a bit on non-small cell lung cancer, NSCLC, stage 3 and 4.
Advanced disease.
Yes, advanced disease. And they were incredibly careful here. They adjusted for, I think it was 39 different potential confounding factors.
Wow, 39. So things like age, cancer stage, other treatments.
Everything you could think of. Demographics, tumor type, histology, performance status, even steroid use, which we know can dampen immune response. They really tried to isolate the vaccine effect.
Okay, so after all that adjustment, what was the actual signal? What did they see in terms of survival?
This is where it gets really eye-opening. Let's talk overall survival, OS. For the unvaccinated NSCLC patients, the median OS was around 20.6 months.
Okay, typical for advanced NSCLC on ICI?
Right. But for patients who got either the Pfizer or Moderna mRNA vaccine within 100 days of starting ICI, their median OS jumped to 37.3 months.
Wait, from 20 to 37 months, that's huge. It's nearly a year and a half difference.
It's a massive difference. The adjusted hazard ratio, the HROG, was 0.51.
So roughly halving the risk of death during the follow-up period.
Essentially, yes. And the p-value was less than 0.0001. Extremely statistically significant. This wasn't just random noise.
Was this consistent? Did it matter which vaccine or exactly which stage?
Remarkably consistent. It held up for both unresectable stage 3 and stage 4 patients, and it worked for both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines.
Okay, that strengthens the finding considerably. Did they see this in other cancers too, or just lung?
They checked. They looked at a separate cohort, this time metastatic melanoma patients who were getting their first round of ICI.
Another cancer where ICIs are commonly used but don't work for everyone.
Exactly. And they found a similar benefit. The 3-year overall survival improved significantly. It went from about 44% in the unvaccinated group to almost 68% in the vaccinated group.
Wow. Okay.
Progression-free survival, PFS, was also better. Seeing it across different tumor types really points towards a fundamental immune mechanism being altered, not something specific to lung cancer biology.
All right, so we've got this really strong clinical correlation, but correlation isn't causation, right? Could it just be that people who got vaccinated were generally healthier or sought more care?
Ah.
The healthy user effect?
That's always the big question with retrospective studies. But they did some crucial checks for specificity that argue against that.
How so?
Well, they looked at other types of vaccines. If it was just any immune stimulation helping, you might expect, say, the annual flu shot or a pneumonia vaccine given near ICI to also show a benefit.
And did they?
Nope. No detectable survival improvement when patients got those standard non-mRNA vaccines near their ICI start date.
Okay, that's important. What about the ICI component itself? Was the vaccine doing something on its own, or did it need the ICI?
Another critical check, they looked at patients who received the mRNA vaccine near chemotherapy but without getting an ICI. The survival benefit vanished. It really seems to require the combination. The vaccine isn't acting like a standalone cancer treatment here. It's doing something to make the ICI work better.
It's a sensitizer.
Precisely. It's priming the system, or maybe the tumor itself, so the checkpoint inhibitor can actually do its job effectively. And it seems specific to the mRNA LNP, the lipid nanoparticle delivery system platform.
Right. So the what seems pretty clear from the clinical data, mRNA vaccines plus ICI leads to better outcomes. Let's get into the how. How did they start digging into the mechanism?
They moved into mice. Preclinical models using tumors that are notoriously bad responders to ICI alone, things like B16, FCO melanoma, and Lewis lung carcinoma, LLC.
Standard cold tumor models.
Exactly. Perfect test beds to see if you can turn a cold tumor hot.
And what did they find was the key ingredient for the synergy?
It all came down to type I interferon, IFNI.
Interferon. Did the body's sort of antiviral alarm signal.
That's a great way to put it. It's a crucial cytokine family that signals danger and kicks the innate and adaptive immune systems into high gear.
So the vaccine plus ICI effect depended on this alarm going off.
Critically dependent. They did the definitive experiment. They used an antibody to block the type I interferon receptor, IFR1.
So cutting the wire to the alarm system.
Exactly. And when they blocked IFNR1, the synergistic anti-tumor effect was completely gone. Abolished. The ICI didn't work any better with the vaccine if the interferon signal couldn't get through.
Wow. Okay, so the interferon surge is essential. It's like it resets the immune environment.
That's the idea. It shifts the whole immune set point away from being tolerant of the tumor and towards an active inflammatory state where T cells can actually get in and kill cancer cells.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Usually when we talk about vaccines for cancer, we're talking about teaching the immune system to recognize something specific on the tumor cells, like neoantigens.
Right. That's the whole basis of personalized cancer vaccines. Identify mutations, make mRNA or peptides for those specific targets.
But is that what's happening here? Does the immune system need to learn to fight the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein for this anti-cancer effect?
This was maybe the most surprising part. The answer seems to be no.
No. So the content of the mRNA doesn't matter.
For the sensitizing effect, apparently not primarily, they did a clever experiment where they swapped out the spike mRNA and instead used mRNA coding for a completely different, irrelevant antigen, something from cytomegalovirus PP65, not a tumor antigen at all.
And what happened when they gave that CMV mRNA vaccine with ICI?
They saw a similar strong anti-tumor effect as they did with the spike mRNA.
Okay, that is wild. So it's not about what protein the mRNA instructs the cells to make.
It's more about the innate immune system recognizing the vaccine itself as a danger signal. The delivery package is the key.
The mRNA wrapped in the lipid nanoparticle, the LNP.
Exactly. The hypothesis is that the way the mRNA is formulated and packaged inside that LNP creates these complex RNA structures, maybe double-stranded RNA or other forms.
Which the cell recognizes as foreign. Like a virus.
Precisely. It likely triggers intracellular sensors, particularly one called MDA5, which is known to detect viral RNA.
And MDA5 activation leads to
that big surge of type I interferon. So the LNP delivery system itself, potentially through the structures the encapsulated mRNA forms, acts as the trigger. It sets off this systemic viral mimicry alert.
A false alarm that happens to wake up the anti-tumor immune response, making it susceptible to ICI.
That seems to be the core mechanism they uncovered.
Okay, that's the preclinical story.
Mm-hmm.
Did they see evidence of this happening in people who got the actual COVID vaccines, that huge interferon surge?
They did. They looked at healthy volunteers who received the commercial vaccines, Moderna or Pfizer.
And did the alarm go off?
Loudly. In people who got the Moderna vaccine, for example, they saw plasma interferon alpha, that's a key type I interferon, shoot up dramatically. We're talking up to a 280-fold increase over baseline levels within just 24 hours.
280-fold. That is really strong systemic response.
Mm.
Is that safe? Does that cause significant side effects, or is it just transient?
That's obviously a crucial consideration. The effect, while massive, appears to be quite short-lived. Yes, there was clear activation of innate immune cells like myeloid cells and dendritic cells, and also T cells. You could see it in markers like PD-L1 and CD69 going up on these circulating cells.
So that a whole system gets revved up.
For a short time, yes. But these markers generally peaked around day one or two and then returned pretty close to baseline levels by day 7.
So it's like a quick, potent stimulation, then things calm down. a window of opportunity, perhaps?
Exactly. It's not inducing chronic inflammation, which would be a major concern. It's a transient reset.
Did they see differences between the vaccines here too, like in the clinical data?
They did. The Pfizer vaccine, BNT162b2, which uses a lower mRNA dose, 30 micrograms compared to 50 or 100 for Moderna, showed a detectably lower magnitude of IFNI surge and less innate cell activation.
Interesting. So dose and maybe the specific LNP formulation might really matter if you were trying to optimize this for cancer therapy.
Absolutely. It gives you levers to potentially pull if this moves towards intentional therapeutic use.
Okay, so the systemic alarm goes off in humans. But how does that signal reach the tumor? Does it actually change things inside the tumor microenvironment to make the ICI work better?
That's the critical connection. And yes, they found evidence for that too. They looked at tumor biopsies from patients.
Before and after vaccination. Or just comparing vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Comparing patients who had received an mRNA vaccine less than 100 days before their biopsy versus those who hadn't.
And what changed in the tumor?
A key marker. PD-L1 expression on the tumor cells went up.
Ah, PD-L1. That's the ligand that binds to PD-1 on T cells, putting the brakes on them. ICIs often work by blocking that interaction.
Exactly. So higher PD-L1 expression can sometimes paradoxically indicate a more inflamed tumor that's trying to shut down an immune response, making it potentially more susceptible to PD-1 or PD-L1 blockade.
So the vaccine made the tumors express more PD-L1.
On average, yes. In the NSCLC patients, for example, the mean tumor proportion score, or TPS, that's the percentage of tumor cells staining positive for PD-L1, increased from about 25% in unvaccinated to 31% in vaccinated patients around the time of ICI initiation.
Now, 25 to 31% might not sound like a huge jump numerically.
It doesn't, but clinically it can be very important because of treatment thresholds.
Right, that magic 50% TPS cutoff for getting single-agent ICI in lung cancer, for instance.
Precisely. And while the average jump was modest, that shift was enough to push significantly more patients over that crucial 50% threshold. About 36% of vaccinated patients were above 50% TPS, compared to only 28% of unvaccinated.
So getting the vaccine could literally change your treatment options. Mm-hmm. Potentially moving you from chemoimmunotherapy to a more potent single-agent immunotherapy.
That's the implication, yes. It could directly impact clinical decision-making.
But perhaps the most exciting part, the real potential game-changer, is what this means for those cold tumors we started with, the ones that normally don't respond well at all.
This, I think, is the most profound clinical finding. They specifically zoomed in on that group. Stage IV NSCLC patients whose tumors were intrinsically cold, defined as having less than 1% PD-L1 TPS at baseline, hopeless responders typically.
Okay, the toughest cases.
Exactly. And what they found was that the patients in this cold tumor group who had received the mRNA vaccine showed overall survival outcomes that were remarkably similar to patients who started out with much higher, hotter baseline TPS scores.
Get out. So the vaccine essentially rescued their sensitivity to ICI.
It appears to have effectively converted those cold tumors into ICI-responsive ones, at least in terms of survival outcomes. It leveled the playing field. That's huge.
That really is huge. It suggests this simple, off-the-shelf vaccine could overcome one of the biggest hurdles in ICI therapy, intrinsic resistance.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
It's acting as a powerful sensitizer, even in the most challenging tumor types.
So let's try to synthesize this. We have these mRNA vaccines, which, ironically, use modified RNA N1-methylpseudouridine. Specifically designed to dampen the innate immune response, to make them less inflammatory and better at producing the target protein.
Right. The goal was to be stealthy, to maximize antigen expression without setting off too many alarms.
And yet, even with those modifications, the LNP delivery system itself, maybe the RNA structure within it, still triggers enough of an innate immune response, specifically that MDA5-IFN-DIVE pathway.
That it's sufficient to fundamentally reprogram the tumor microenvironment and make it sensitive to checkpoint blockade. It's quite remarkable. It reveals this kind of latent immunomodulatory power within the platform itself, separate from the antigen it encodes.
Which suggests we might have, sitting in freezers right now, a relatively cheap, universally available tool. A universal modulator, maybe.
That's a good term for it. Something that could be strategically deployed, perhaps timed just before starting ICI, to boost efficacy.
Especially for patients who might otherwise have limited options, or who are waiting for those more complex, personalized neoantigen vaccines, which are still, realistically, years away for most people.
Absolutely. And it forces us to reconsider even routine vaccinations in cancer patients. If this effect is tied to that roughly 100-day window before ICI, and the systemic activation peaks and resolves within a week,
then maybe the timing of when a patient gets their COVID booster, or potentially other future mRNA vaccines, could actually influence their cancer treatment trajectory.
It's a definite possibility. We might need to start thinking about these standard immunizations almost as acute immuno-oncology interventions in certain contexts.
Yeah.
It's a paradigm shift.
Definitely something to think about. Okay, before we wrap up, let's crystallize the three major takeaways from this deep dive straight for the results.
Okay. First, the clinical outcomes. Getting a SARS-CoV-2 mRNA vaccine within 100 days of starting ICI therapy is linked to significantly better median and three-year overall survival. We saw this across multiple cancer types, including NSCLC and metastatic melanoma, in these large retrospective studies.
Second takeaway, the mechanism. The synergy between the mRNA vaccine and ICI in the preclinical models absolutely requires that potent systemic surge of type I interferon. IFNI is the key driver, activating the innate immune system and priming it for action.
And third, converting cold tumors. The mRNA vaccination leads to tangible changes in the tumor itself, specifically increasing PD-L1 expression. This seems to effectively sensitize previously unresponsive, immunologically cold tumors, bringing their survival outcomes closer to those seen in patients with hot tumors from the start. It helps overcome that baseline resistance.
Fantastic summary. This is truly groundbreaking work with potentially immediate implications. It will be fascinating to see the prospective clinical trials that are undoubtedly being planned right now to confirm and build on these findings.
Yeah, absolutely. A really exciting development.
Thank you for joining us for this Science TLDR deep dive. We'll catch you next time.